Radio Solent Sport.
The Non-League Show with Cliff Pledge.
Well, thank you, Kev. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Non-League Show. I'm Cliff Pledge, and this week the show comes from Ettix, from Braintree Town, where I travelled to see if Eastleigh could extend their build on their victory in midweek. We'll also find out how some of our other sides got on in top of the table games and see if Fareham finally got a game on. Well, the show this week comes from Braintree, where I followed Eastleigh up to deputise for Ian to see if they could go on an unbeaten run after having a bit of a tough time of late. We'll have more on that in the programme. We'll start with the Southern League Premier Division, because Poole Town extended their lead at the top to 4 points today with a 3-0 victory over Histon at Tattenham. Luke Burbage got two and Tony Lee the other, which I think might be his first goal for the Dolphins. And delighted to say, live on the line now is their manager, Tom Killick. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening.
Well done on 3 points. Another game, another win.
Yeah, we've stuttered a little bit with our home form of late. You know, we beat Hitchin, but before that, we've dropped points in games where we felt we shouldn't have done. So there was a certain amount of pressure on us today to make sure that we got 3 points, and we managed to do that.
Was it a comfortable victory?
It was. I think, to be fair, Histon were very young and inexperienced. And although they were, spirited opposition, it was one of our more straightforward victories.
Obviously, you'd only lost one in 12. I think you won quite a few in a row. Then came the defeat last week, which maybe people didn't expect at Hitchin. Then a good point in the week at Redditch. That last week's loss aside, you're in tremendous form.
Yeah, we are. It's we probably had two or three draws that we would have rather turned into victories. Particularly, we had sort of two home draws. But on the whole, we're doing well at this stage of the season. You see some strange results, and you just have to try and be as consistent as possible. And certainly the league as a whole has been, very interesting, I think, this year, in terms of there's been a lot of occasions where, sides near the top have sort of dropped points unexpectedly. So it's made for quite an interesting campaign. But from here on in, it's all about us trying to be as consistent as possible. And perhaps the big factor, that everyone's praying for is to keep injuries to a manageable level, because that's something that probably cost us quite dearly at the end of last season, having key players unavailable. And this year today we were really stretched injury wise, but so we just want to try and keep things manageable on that front.
Well, you mentioned last season. I mean, is it a case of third time lucky after going so close two seasons in a row? You'll just be relieved to get over the line, won't you?
Well, we hope so. I've always said, I don't care how it happens, whether it's being promoted outright by goal difference or winning the playoffs, whatever it is. But we're just desperate to go up. But it's not easy, because there's a lot of good sides in and around, the playoff positions, and they're all desperate to get that coveted spot, the automatic spot, and if not, go up through the playoffs. There's a lot of well-resourced, strong, powerful sides in it. So people sometimes get a bit carried away, I think, with how we should be doing. And I'm really pleased with the players so far this year. I think they've been brilliant to a man.
And tell us about your three goals today. Were they routine or anything spectacular?
I think Luke Burbage took his first goal really well. I was pleased for him. He's a real live wire for us. He causes teams a lot of problems. And so he scored a really good goal. And Tony Lee, who's joined us from Eastleigh on loan, he's got a real presence about him. He's got some aggression. He's a very powerful forward. And he's been like a breath of fresh air for us. And we're very grateful to Eastleigh for letting us have him. And we hope that it's benefiting him, because he is getting match minutes. I think he needs the experience of playing week in, week out, and he is getting that with us.
And a final question. There was a fans forum in the week where stadium possibilities were discussed, staying at Tattenham, going to Poole Stadium, going to Bearwood or whatever. What's your personal preference if I mean, I'm sure you can't personally decide what's going to happen, but do you have a gut feeling or a preference what you'd like would have to happen?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm brutally honest, that, you know, the downside of Poole Stadium is sharing it with Speedway. You know, they're a big sort of powerhouse of a Speedway team, so there's no way there's going to be a Poole Stadium without Speedway on it. So as a spectacle, that makes things a little bit more difficult from a footballing perspective. So if I had to choose, and Tattenham could be upgraded to a reasonable level, I tend to think I'd quite like to stay there. But, you know, decisions like that have to be made for the long-term good of the football club, and there's lots of factors that have to be considered. And I've got every faith, you know, the directors of the club are a really good bunch with the club's interests at heart, so I'm sure they'll do the right thing.
Well, it's great to see you extend your lead at the top today. Thanks for joining us live on the Non-League Show, Tom Killick.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's Tom Killick, Poole Town boss. Poole Town 3-0 winners over Histon today, 359 at Tattenham. Luke Burbage with two and Tony Lee with the other. Well, they're at 536 at the Bob Lucas Stadium, where Weymouth defeated Redditch, another one of the promotion chasers, by 2-0. Stuart Yetton and Jacob Wannell, the goal scorers for the Terriers, and delighted to say their manager Jason Matthew now joins me live on the line. Good evening, Jason.
Good evening, Cliff.
I guess you'll be a happy man. You were saying in the local press this is a really big game, one of your most important tests since you joined the club as manager, and you won.
Yeah, like I said, you know, obviously a big game. You know, Redditch's form team in the league. And, you know, I felt that we ground out a result today, Cliff. You know, and credit goes to my players. You know, everyone put in a shift and a very workmanlike performance.
It must be a tremendous, you know, it must be a boost that... I don't know if I mean, you had a good 5-1 win over Dorchester in the Senior Cup in midweek, but in general, the league results maybe hadn't been what you wanted. But this is definitely putting you back in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, it's putting us back in the right direction. 12 games to go. You know, probably we haven't amassed the points that we would like, and probably the squad got deserve and maybe drawn one or two, probably, well, three or four too many games. You know, but today, you know, we was much more like ourselves. And, you know, from a manager's point of view, you know, I'll go in extremely pleased tonight. And it's putting us on a little run now, you know, 3 unbeaten. Probably, well, should have won at Biggleswade last week, but it wasn't to be. But for me, you know, it's still in our hands, the playoffs, you know, and we need to just win our games.
And was it a thoroughly deserved 3 points today?
Sorry?
Was it a thoroughly deserved 3 points? Did they make it hard for you?
Yeah. Redditch, you know, for me, are the best side we played this season, Cliff. And, you know, you could tell they were playing with confidence. And I felt that, you know, their front six going forward were, you know, probably the best in the league. You know, and, you know, I felt that we grinded out the result and grinded them down and, you know, got the result that we thoroughly deserved.
Stuart Yetton, your captain, opened the scoring. There'd been a period of time where he was on the subs bench, and I guess he must have been itching to get back, and you've put him back in the team, and he's back amongst the goals again.
Yeah, you know, yes, you know, we had a little conversation at Christmas. You know, I feel that he needed to lose some weight, and he's gone out and done that. And, you know, he's proved his worth with 2 goals in the last 2 league games.
And then yourself, I know you were injured. You're back in goal. How are you enjoying being back between the sticks?
Yeah, there's no substitute for playing, Cliff. You know, obviously the management come my way, and you know, it's the club I love, and you know, I'd love to get us to the playoffs this season.
And finally, you got a clean sheet today. Were there any sort of magic moments for you? Did they put you under any pressure?
One save at 1-0, Cliff. But you know, I'll do what I get paid to do, and you know, for me, you know, like a very good, pleasing day at the office.
Brilliant. Well done on the win. Victories around all around in the division today for Poole Town and Weymouth, both in promotion chasing form. Thanks for joining us live on the Non-League Show this evening, Jason.
Thanks, Cliff. Cheers, mate.
All right, speak soon. Dorchester, though, couldn't make it 3 wins out of 3. They lost 3-2 at Hitchin Town. Toby Holmes gave them the lead, and then they were behind. Ben Watson equalised at 2-2, but Hitchin... made it 3-2. Dorchester gave a debut to AFC Bournemouth's Henry Lander, who's on a work experience loan, and centre-half Gary Bowles. He returned for the first time since 2011. Hoping now that the league table is updated on the Southern League website, so I'll have a quick look at that for you now. Poole Town 4 points clear at the top if it is updated. and the Southern League website. Not playing ball at the moment. I'll try and get that info a little bit later on, and we'll also look at the Southern League Central and South and West scores. And this is the non-league show, which this week comes live from Braintree, where it's cold and dark. Not the day to forget your gloves. Now the Southern League website is updated right in front of me, so it's just refreshed. So before I move along, I will tell you that Paul Town have 68 points from 35 games, 4 points clear of second place Chippenham Town, who've got 64 points, but they've played a game more. Redditch have 62 points, but they've played a game less than Poole. And so of all the other teams I'm going to mention now, Hitchin have 61 points and Leamington have 59. They're in the playoff positions. Then looking down, Weymouth are ninth with 54 points, and that's 5 points off the playoffs. And Dorchester down to 11th now with 52 points, and that would make them 7 points off the playoff positions this evening. Other scores in that division from over this weekend. We've heard that Poole and Weymouth won and Dorchester lost. It was also Chesham 4, Bedworth 2, Froome 2, Biggleswade 1, Hitchin 3, Dorchester 2, Kettering 4, Cirencester 3. A late winner for Kettering. Merthyr 0, Leamington 2, Slough 1, Dunstable 0, St Neots 1, Poulton 0, and Stratford 0, Biddeford 0, and of course Poole Town and Weymouth victorious, as we've spoken about already. Well, today East Lee came to Braintree. They won 5-1 here last season, but this season it's an incredibly different story. Braintree were fourth going into this game, with East Lee eighth. Braintree had won 6 out of 7 home games, and East Lee had lost 4 away games in a row, but they were buoyed from having won by a goal to nil over Cheltenham in midweek. I did a commentary, and these are the key moments from the afternoon at the Avanti Stadium. Akinola gets the better of Partington, and he takes a shot, and it's gone through the goalkeeper and in. I think they were determined not to bring him down in the area. That gave him the chance to shoot. It's gone all the way through. It's Braintree 1, East Lee 0. This could be a chance, actually, for Akinola. He's gone down on the edge of the box. It's a foul by Turley, and the card is out. It's a second yellow and a red, and that's come within 1 minute and 48 seconds of the start of the second half. Ben Strevens, the captain of East Lee, it's going to be a lot harder now for the Spitfires. Unfortunate there for Jamie Turley, who's been got his second yellow. Looping header from Braintree. Back pass is poor, and he's in again for his second goal. It's another goal from Braintree. Poor defending from East Lee. Sim Akinola's looping header wasn't cleared. He was presented with the ball again and tucks it home from close range. It's Braintree 2, East Lee 0. And the Spitfires are going to be going home this evening, you would feel, without any points. He's done it again, Akinola. Well, Sim Akinola really was the man of the match. He'd only scored 4 goals all season. He got both of them today. He was a real handful. Yes, Eastleigh should have prevented both of those, but he was probably the difference between the sides. James Constable had 3 or 4 chances to score. His best one, well, he had a couple. One of them came when Jay Reason crossed the ball in at 0-0, and his close-range header was too close to goalkeeper Tom King. And then seconds after going behind 1-0, he had a snapshot, and Tom King made a brilliant save. Then Yemi, who came on for Matt Tubbs. Matt Tubbs really didn't get the service today. Yemi Odebay came on and had a snapshot deflected just over the top. Braintree, well, they hit the crossbar from a corner that went all the way over Ross Flitney. I think he had it covered. And Flitney would have been disappointed to concede the first goal, then let in a second goal as that man again pounced on a defensive mistake, Sim Akinola. Braintree will feel they were the better side today. Eastleigh went down to 10 men, as we heard there, when Jamie Turley got his second yellow. Then Braintree went down to 10 men when Matt Fry, a former Eastleigh player, got his second yellow. And poor Eastleigh, it was like the walking wounded at the end. They'd made all their substitutions, and then Andy Drury had to limp off, and then it looked like Will Evans was going to have to limp off as well. A nightmare day for them. The attendance, 666, could have been an omen. Braintree 2, Eastleigh 0. After the game, I spoke to the Spitfires boss, Chris Todd. What are your thoughts after today's defeat?
I'm frustrated, to be honest with you. I think at times we did okay. Nothing really much in the first half, and then we give a silly goal away, and it changes everything. Gives them a lift, and but I still believed half time. I said to the lads in the change room that if we kept doing what we were doing first half, we'd get back into the game. And then obviously the decision to get my man sent off is the right decision, but it's changed the outcome of the game.
You've made three substitutes to try and get back into the game, but is it fair to say the second goal was also preventable?
Of course, definitely. The second goal was bad defending by us. And to be honest with you, three big decisions in the game have cost us today. The first goal was out against the run of play. There was nothing really in it, which is make them go one up. And then come out second half thinking, well, we get back into this game if we get a goal and perform like we did sometimes in the first half. But then we get sent off, a man sent off, which changes everything. Changes the game of football, let's be honest. And we were disappointed, of course.
Some chances went your way. Yemi had one when you brought him on. Some came to James Constable, but they were unfortunate. But in general, was there enough service to the front men?
No, they weren't. There weren't enough service to the front men. But that's what you expect when you're away from home. There was nothing really in the game, as I said. You know, if we go into the half, 0-0 first half, I believe we would go on to win the game because we get stronger. But that goes out the window when you get a man sent off. That's the situation.
Now, obviously, some disappointment or irony when they have a man sent off to even things out. Immediately, you're a man down because you pick up an injury.
Yeah, you've got to laugh about it because it's, you know what I mean, if you don't, you cry. It's one of them, you know. At that point as well, when we were still down to 10 men, I believe we'd get a chance, which we did. Yeah, we had a good chance and they blocked it off, basically going in the goal, which would have made it a bit different. And then, obviously, they get a guy sent off and... you think, right, 10v10, happy days, you know, we were back in the game, yeah? But one of our best players goes down injured, which is not helped, you know?
And how is he?
I don't know, not really sure until he reassess it and stuff like that tomorrow, you won't really know, but he's a big player, so hopefully he'll be okay.
Now, you've got three home games in very quick succession now, so it's important to bounce back, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. We've got 12 games left, 8 at home. We've got to be positive about it. We can still do what we're trying to set out to do, but we have to win football matches. And today we haven't, and we're all frustrated with it. But we'll stick together and we'll go again.
I guess it would have been nice to build some momentum. Disappointing after Tuesday's heroics, really.
Yeah, 100%. I would have taken a draw today. I really would have, you know. But that's football. It don't come easy. You don't get nothing in life for easy, is it? You know what I mean? So we have to go again. We'll stay positive. We've got three home games on the spin, and they're three big games for us now. We have to try and get some momentum and get going again.
Chris Tardy, the manager, speaking after the 2-0 loss this afternoon at Braintree. Simeon Akinola with both the goals caught the eye for the Iron. Other scores in the division today, working by torchlight now. There's no other light here in the night sky. I'm the only person left in the stadium. Thankfully, there are still people in the clubhouse, so hopefully they won't lock me in. Altrincham 0, Macclesfield 0, Boreham Wood 0, Barrow 2. Chester 1, Bromley 1. Lincoln City 2, Aldershot 0. Southport 0, Halifax 1. Halifax scoring the only goal in stoppage time. Torquay 3, Kidderminster 2, Tranmere 3, Gateshead 1, Welling 1, Cheltenham 1. Welling took the lead in stoppage time, but conceded in the 95th minute. And Woking 0, Dover 1. The game between Guiseley and Wrexham was postponed. Forest Green Rovers 0, Grimsby 1 was last night's big game. Craig Disley with the only goal. Eastleigh playing on Tuesday night at home to Woking. Then on Saturday at home to Chester, then the following Tuesday at home to Bromley before they get a Saturday off because Halifax are still involved in the FA Trophy. Cheltenham top the table with 80 points. Forest Green have 78 and they're in second place. Then come Grimsby with 65, Braintree with 60 and Tranmere with 60. They're in the playoffs. Then there's a gap of 4 points to Wrexham with 56 points. Dover are seventh with 55. So two with 55 points are Lincoln and Gateshead. And Eastleigh with 53 points. 7 points off the playoffs. They drop to 10th, although they do have a couple of games in hand on some of the teams above them. And Aldershot are remaining 14th position. From the bottom up in the relegation zone are Kidderminster, Welling, Torquay and Altrincham. Altrincham dropping there because Halifax climb out. In the National League South, Gosport Borough lost 2-0 at Ebbsfleet. They faced Nathan Ashmore, who was their goalkeeper until this week, but he's joined Ebbsfleet. He kept a clean sheet. Borough lost 2-0. George Legg made his debut in goal for Borough. He's 19 on loan from Reading, and Gosport announcing today that they've paid their tax bill in full. Remember, that was a story on the top of the show last week. Havant and Waterlooville lost 2-1 at home to Hemel Hempstead Town. They were 1-0 down. Shamir Mullings got a red card late on. Josh Hill equalised in stoppage time. Hemel won with another goal in stoppage time. And disappointment for Basingstoke, who were 3 unbeaten but lost 3-1 at Maidenhead, even though Jay Gasson did equalise at 1-1. Elsewhere, Concord 2, Wildston 2, Eastbourne Borough 2, Hayes and Yedding 0, Maidenhead 3, Margate 1, Maidstone 3, Basingstoke 1, we've mentioned, Oxford City 1, Bath City 1, Bradley Bubb with a late penalty, St Albans 0, Sutton 3, Truro 1, Chelmsford 0, Western Supermare 2, Dartford 1, and Whitehawk 2, Bishops Stortford 3. On Tuesday, in the Hampshire Senior Cup semi-final, Havant and Waterlooville face Basingstoke. Then they meet again at Basingstoke on Saturday in the league. Gosport stay fourth in the table with 52 points. The Hawks stay 19th with 34 points, but they're only 1 point outside the relegation zone after today's loss. And Basingstoke stay bottom with 26 points. In the Southern League, we've gone through the scores in the Premier Division. There were wins for Poole and Weymouth. We heard from their managers, and a defeat for Dorchester. In the Southern League South and West Division, today, Winchester City, they're in a promotion title race. They beat one of the fellow favourites for the title, Swindon Supermarine, by 3-1. Warren Bentley scored 2, one from the penalty spot. Then Craig Feeney also on target. A big win, 3-1 for Winchester City. AFC Tottenham were 4 unbeaten and took the lead at Tiverton, thanks to Nick Watts, but they lost 2-1. And Mike Gosney and Steve Malthorpe this week signing contracts to the end of next season. An entertaining game at Marlow, where Wimborne Town drew 3-3. Mark Ford scored a couple, one of them a penalty, based and also on target. And Bashley 1, Yates Town 2. But when Will Heather scored a penalty on 63 minutes for a consolation, it was Bashley's first goal in 807 minutes. So by their standards, 2-1 at home to Yates, not a bad result at all. We'll have more scores to come. A quick shout out in the Wessex League to Byron Mason, who made his 400th appearance for Scholing today. We'll go through all the scores in the Wessex League in a moment, but Fareham Town managed to get a game on for the first time in absolute yonks. We had the manager on last week when the game was called off right at the last minute. This evening I spoke to their secretary, Paul Proctor, after a 2-2 draw between Fareham Town and Brockenhurst.
Now, so, yeah, far away.
Joining us now on the non-league show is the Fareham Town secretary, Paul Proctor. Paul, Fareham had the first home game for, am I right in saying, 132 days today?
I don't know exactly how many days, but the last home game was October the 24th.
So how does it feel then to be back at home?
It's relief to be playing. We were 2-0 up, a bit frustrating to concede in a very late equaliser, but say it's just relief to get a game on.
Now, there was almost... Last week you were supposed to play and it was called off 40 minutes before kick-off. This week it was almost a bit of drama as well about the game going ahead.
Yes, you couldn't write a script like this. We understand that the Brockenhurst kit man was taking ill on his way up here with all the kit. Obviously we wish him well. So they didn't have a kit. Unfortunately our away kit was still here. So they were able, we were able to step in and use that. So...
That would have
saved the day.
That did save the day. That would not have been funny, would it, if they turned up and couldn't play because of the kit?
You couldn't write a script like that.
So, obviously, the pitch has been a problem. What was different today that got the game on? Was it the referee was more practical than last week, or was it just that the pitch has dried up a bit and is better?
The pitch has dried up a bit, but then, of course, we had the rain on Thursday. It was no worse than it was last week, to be perfectly honest. As you say, the referee was obviously a bit more practical and pragmatic, and it was game on.
So it must be great to be at home again, because you'd even been playing home games away from home, hadn't you? You'd been switching them, so it just must be nice.
Yeah, we've been reversing fixtures where possible, sides we hadn't played, so we could play the away games, so, you know, at least games were getting played.
How has it been for you turning up to all these pitch inspections every week and knowing full well the ref was was it a bit of a wasted effort knowing that you had to go to all these sort of pitch inspections that had an inevitable outcome?
I'm quite a pragmatic person to start with, and with the drainage issues on the clay water base that our pitch has got, you know it's going to be off pretty much 24, 48 hours beforehand. So you turn up and you know it's not... I mean, last week was the only frustrating one, because, you know, I still maintain that the pitch was playable last week, but obviously powers that be sort of thought different.
Sorry to interrupt you, but how has it affected the club not being able to play at home since October?
Well, we've had no revenue coming in, so obviously that's a major concern. And obviously when we do play, we're going to be playing catch up. Unfortunately, players do get disinterested. We've lost a couple more this week who've decided to try their luck elsewhere or pack in playing completely because not playing regular games, which is, you know, I can understand to a point, but, you know.
So just to say, it's just the soil in the town, isn't it? It's nothing your groundsman, fault anywhere.
It's just an unfortunate thing. The Fareham has got a clay water table. Once that's full up, it's full up. There's nowhere for the rain to go away. I understand that the ground itself is below sea level, and where it's flat, there's nowhere for it to sort of go slide away to. I did have an amateur meteorology tell me that we'd had over 2 metres of rain fall between October and this was mid-January. So, yeah, there's not really a lot you can do.
That's Paul Proctor, secretary at Fareham. They got a game on for the first time since October today and led 2-0 but only drew 2-2 with Brockenhurst. In the Southern League Central Division, Fleet Town took the lead at Northwood through Ben White but lost 2-1, conceding with the last kick. Petersfield Town beat Bedford Town 2-1. That's their fourth consecutive home win. Howard Neighbour got both goals. They're at home again on Wednesday to Beaconsfield. And Winchester, by the way, up to third in the Southern League South and West table after that win over Swindon Supermarine today. 5 points off the top of the table. In the Western League, Gillingham Town won 4-1 at Cribbs. Bridport lost 3-2 at home to the leaders Odd Down. And Sherborne lost 2-1 at Melksham. In the Wessex League, scores first from the Premier Division. Andover Town 3, Cowes Sports 3. Bemerton Heath Harlequins 5, Forley 1. Bournemouth 0, Fulham Sports 2, Fareham Town 2, Brockenhurst 2, Hamworthy United 2, Alsford 1, Lymington Town 3, Newport 2, Moneyfields 0, Blackfield and Langley 2, Salisbury 2, Team Solent 0, Scholing 3, AFC Portchester 0. As we say, man of the match there was Byron Mason, his 400th game. Whitchurch United 0, Horn Dean 2. In Division 1, the first division of the Wessex League, just waiting for the website to update. Well, it's taking a little while. Maybe, Kane, if you've got the rest of the day's scores, I'll pick up on the end of that.
I have indeed, Cliff. In the Hampshire Premier League, it finished Bush Hill 3, Liphook United 2, Clanfield 0, Infinity 1, Hamble Club 6, Winchester Castle 2, Headley United 0, Overton United 3, Liss Athletic 6, Colden Common 2, Loxheath 3, Paulsgrove 1, and Otterbourne 5, Bournemouth Electric 4. And in the Dorset Premier League, only 3 games went ahead today. Parley Sports 3, Weymouth Reserves 1, Wareham Rangers 2, Balty Sports 6, and Westland Sports 1, Mertown 1.
Well, thank you, Kane. The Sydenham's Wessex League website, I gave you the Premier Division scores. The First Division results I'm not able to give you. That's where you'll find them on their website. That, I'm sure, will be updated very, very soon. Thank you for joining us on the non-league show this evening, which this week came from Braintree Town, the Avanti Stadium in Cressing Road. Disappointment for Eastleigh. They lost 2-0 here, but they came against a very good player who punished them for 2 mistakes at the back. Sim Akinola, remember that name. Havant and Waterlooville, Gosport, Basingstoke, they all lost, but thank goodness there were wins for Weymouth and Petersfield.